Under the Scope.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Under the Scope. I'm Jared, and sitting next to me, it's the return of guest host Earl.
Hello, how are you today, folks?
We are exiting our early screening, almost 2 weeks early, of the third Hobbit film, The Hobbit 3...
Battle of the Five Armies!
I was going to say Electric Boogaloo, but I don't think that's right. The Battle of the Five Armies.
Two.
I know, I wanted to take it to three. I think we needed a three-part, but we didn't get it. The Battle of the Five Armies.
Battle of Five Armies.
There's five armies in this one, folks. This one is the third in the trilogy of what some say probably shouldn't be a trilogy, but nevertheless, it is. Three films made from the Hobbit books written by J.R.R. Tolkien, directed by Peter Jackson, and his army of people there to help him out.
And I mean, the books were written off of a song by Leonard Nimoy.
Exactly. It's true. Not a word of it a lie.
Not a word of it a lie.
This one picks up immediately after the events of the second one, The Desolation of Smaug.
Yeah, you could literally tack them together and nobody would know.
Right. Indeed. Back are all of your Hobbit favorites. I don't think there's any fresh faces. Well, actually,
there's only one Hobbit favorite, okay. Bilbo. There's a lot of dwarf
when
favorites.
I say Hobbit favorites, I mean
the film. Yes.
I guess there is one new face.
What's that?
I guess there is one new face that I know of. You have Billy Connolly showing up as a dwarf later on in the film.
Yeah.
I think everyone else, though, we've already met in the other films.
We have, dude. Not too many new people.
Martin Freeman, Orlando Bloom, Lee Pace.
Evangeline Lilly.
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Ah, that was the best part.
He's not in there. If you want a full list of names, IMDb, that's your friend.
Yeah, that's big list.
So basically,
Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen, he's sort of a big name, kind of important. Anyway, the events of this film are basically, so when we left our fearless group, or fearful group, depending on who they are, Smaug had been released and was attacking Lake Town.
And the fishermen people.
He's gonna burn it.
World of man.
It's the town in the middle of a lake. I don't know why they did that, but it looks pretty neat, I guess.
Because it was once the great trading place of the north.
You just saw it today, so you remember better than I do.
Yeah, I just saw part two today, so I'm like, I've had 5.5 hours of hobbiting.
Anyway, the Smaug is attacking, and I don't think it's a spoiler to say that he's dispatched.
Yeah, he's dispatched. I mean, everybody's seen
everyone knows.
He got away, and Martin Freeman goes, "What have we done?
What have we done? We've unleashed Smaug on the world," and he's bent on revenge, but he gets taken out. And then we enter the what I call the moving the chess pieces phase of the film, where all of the, to become the five armies are sort of positioned on the playing field. You end up with an army of elves. You end up with the army of men, which is really just sort of the...
They're the kind of people that chase Frankenstein.
They're the sort of the leftovers from Lake Town.
Yeah, they got torches and pitchforks. They're fit for chasing Frankenstein.
We've got an army of dwarves.
Right.
We've got an army of orcs.
Yep.
And we may have another army later on in the film.
Spoilers.
There's five of them. It's in the title. But we won't tell you who the fifth army is. You'll have to watch. And then, of course, there's a battle. You may have seen that coming.
And the film is pretty much the battle.
The film, its entire 2 hours and 24 minutes, which is the slightest of the three films.
I'd say 2 hours.
It's 2 hours of it is battle. Maybe not quite that much, but it's mostly battle.
But it's I found it to be coherent battle. I was amazed that I was able to actually follow what was going on.
For the most part, I
was like, okay, these guys over here. It wasn't like, you know, Man of Steel, where you're just like, what is going on?
I feel like you could tell who was fighting whom. You couldn't always tell where, necessarily.
See, I was fine with it. I could figure out the way I could do it.
I've had a problem with the geography of this particular area from the beginning. Like, I'm not exactly sure.
It's a gigantic field.
Yeah, there's a field in front of the mountain, which is where the old dwarven city is, and then there's like another city outside.
Which is kind of part of the lake town.
It's part of the, okay, but then Lake Town's off in the lake, so let's just say that if you're paying attention, maybe you can figure it out.
Maybe it's because I just watched two today, maybe. I got a good geography location to things.
I still have a hard time where everything is, but I don't know this is necessarily important to have an exact mental picture in your head of the map of the area.
As long as you know who's fighting who.
Right.
And I was able to follow that easy.
And sometimes motivations change throughout the battle. Allegiances might change. Well, I don't know if allegiances change, but let's just say that not every army is in it to win it at all times.
Everybody got their own motivation going in there.
Right.
And it doesn't help that, the dwarves.
Yes.
Your main dwarves, one of them befouls an evil spell of madness.
Thorin Oakenshield. He's got what do they call it, dragon madness? Dragon sickness, yeah. Something? He's falling under the spell of gold.
And like he's
just
messing,
like Smaug.
And like if he'd not fallen under that, there might have been a lot of trouble saved.
Yeah, well.
But you know, hey, maybe. Then you wouldn't have a movie. Now, without giving it away, for those of you who've seen part 2, you know that the last thing you see of Gandalf, he's left in a crazy-looking little birdcage hanging off a cliff.
Right.
Now, I think my favorite part of the film is when they come back to him, when they get to his part in the beginning.
Yeah.
And they resolve that conflict. I freaking love that scene.
That's pretty cool. A lot of this, you're seeing some scenes aren't really directly related to the plot of the movie. They're more sort of
Lord of the Rings
prologues to Lord of the Rings. Okay. Sort of,
so that way you can watch a, what would that be, 24-hour movie?
I guess so.
If you watch the extended versions of them.
We sat through the credits. I was hoping that there would have been some sort of maybe little bridge scene, maybe, but I guess we probably had a bunch of bridge scenes throughout the film anyway.
Well, yeah,
so.
You got many years to go because Bilbo's got to get old.
True enough.
You got to turn into Ian Holm.
He's got to be 111 years old.
111.
So what did we think of this movie?
I really enjoyed it. I thought it capped it up.
Capped it up. Well, it's the third film of a trilogy.
Right. Okay. Well, it could have been a fourth one dealing with the Hobbit estate sale.
Wouldn't that have been great?
The Hobbit 4. That's my
shadow. There's a shadowy figure just bidding up things but not actually buying, pissing people off.
Like, the one disappointment I had, and I voiced this right away, is the ending credits does not feature the Leonard Nimoy song, the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins, which the film is based upon. And I have to say, after watching Convoy, which really did kind of follow the song, and The Night the Lights Went on,
Georgia, which kind of
this movie followed the Leonard Nimoy song beautifully.
All right.
That's what I say. And I'm sorry Leonard Nimoy did not get a cameo.
No cameo that we know of.
No. Unless he's like a... I didn't see Peter Jackson in this one.
I'm of mixed mind on this film.
What's that?
I'm of mixed mind on this film. I liked it for the most part. I mean, I enjoyed watching it, as I often enjoy spectacle of this sort. I think it cruises by its runtime. Even though it is the shortest of the three, it even feels shorter than that because it's almost nonstop action, except for a little bit of a lull here and there as we need to set things up. Otherwise, it's battle after battle. You get large-scale battles, you get small-scale battles.
Personal battles.
Personal battles.
Mental battles.
Right.
Friendship battles.
Indeed. Some people even broke out on an Uno deck. It was very strange.
He made that.
I didn't make that up. At the same time, though, I feel like it's all style and no substance, if you understand what I'm saying. I don't feel like, and maybe it's just because the story's been stretched over three films, that by the third one, I'm not really even relating to the characters anymore. I'm not really feeling what their motivations are. You probably feel differently because you just watched the second one.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to just try to rephrase it.
Go ahead.
Because, the motivations were there, just kind of stretched out by battle scenes, which isn't necessarily, I don't mean that as a bad thing.
I feel
like after a while you're like, okay.
It doesn't stand on its own, in my opinion.
No, yeah, you definitely need one and two.
Because I didn't see the second one, I saw it probably 6 months ago, and I kind of barely remember stuff about it. So for me, everyone's motivations and there isn't the clarity because, and this is the judgment call you have to make as a filmmaker. It's like, do I spend a bunch of time and exposition restating what everyone's there for and what their reasons are, or do I just trust that people are going to remember and have refreshed themselves?
Yeah.
And they took the latter route, which is fine. It's perfectly valid, but I feel like I was sort of like, why? I don't know. I'm not invested. I'm not invested, I guess, because I'm not like reminded of what everyone's after.
But that's the thing, though.
Like I was kind of confused what the elves were after. I got what the dwarves. I mean, they got their home back. That's great.
And the egg.
And I wasn't sure what the humans were in it for. I mean, they were just, I guess they were just trying to survive.
The humans were like, they got the poop end of the stick.
Yeah.
They were like, look, we're just trying not to be extinct here.
What I'm saying is it by itself, it's not very clear.
No, yeah, so that's true. But
try to watch the second one early. Watch the second one before watching this one.
Yeah, I mean, but they're smart enough to realize they know what their audience. They know everybody's gonna watch all of these together.
Yeah.
They're not gonna go, man, I'm just gonna watch three, or I'm just gonna watch two.
Well, obviously not. I'm just saying
that
if the type of person who probably didn't see the second one, it's been a year since you've seen the second one, even, you might want to brush up on that.
Right.
The extended version
just came out of. Desolation of
Smaug. Benedict Cumberbatch. My other problem was I feel like some of the action sequences are just sort of overdone, overwrought, over choreographed.
But they're incredibly well done.
They're incredibly well done.
Very well done.
But it feels like it's like too much, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I get that the elves are acrobatic, and Legolas has always proven in the past that he's, you know, insane, acrobatic, and great balance, and everything like that.
I know what scene you're talking about.
But he has a solo battle scene that
was probably the ugliest dude ever.
It's just sort of a bit much. And there were other scenes like that too, where it felt like it was just too choreographed and too overdone. But it wasn't overdone to the point where you couldn't follow the action. It just felt like too much filigree, in my opinion.
Hey, look, I gotta say, I was amazed that this film's got a PG-13 rating.
Well, the MPAA doesn't care about violence.
Oh, that's right. everything was kind of...
Is it rated? Are you sure? The ads keep saying it's unrated. I don't know that it's officially rated yet.
What?
The commercials I see on TV, this film, no, you're unrated. I'm like, but I'm seeing it tomorrow.
Yeah, it's got to...
I don't know.
Maybe old commercial, but yeah, I mean, it's like when people get there. I mean, there's a lot of beheading in this film. And like
there's
back in the day,
a lot of it's CG beheading.
That's true. No, it's not very gore. Not like
no, there's not like
sprayed.
Yeah, it's not like Mortal Kombat.
You know, you're like watching cabbages get cut. That's about the gore extent.
Interesting. I'll allow it.
Thank you. I think they even used a cabbage for the sound effect, and I'm not making that up.
No, you're probably right. You know what? I want to talk about the effects a little bit, too.
Let's talk about the effects.
They don't always work. They don't always work. I still feel like I feel like we should be leaps and bounds beyond what we saw in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. But I don't feel like we're always there. I feel like there's more detail, certainly.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the compositing and stuff like that is better. But I'm still seeing shots specifically of, you know, like... characters on their various crazy mounts. Also, this film could have been the battle of the most craziest creature to ride. You got pigs, you got rams, you've got
giant... Oh, I love
giant
the rams. The rams were awesome.
Moose or whatever. You've got horses. It's crazy. Anyway, I still feel like the animation isn't there. It just feels choppy and weird and synthetic and... I don't know.
Well, that's awesome.
I don't know. And I don't think the 3D does any favors when it comes to trying to blend people into believable backgrounds, because it's sort of... separates the elements. You see shots where you're like, that's on a green screen. And sometimes I would take my glasses off and go, well, that just blends better. Not just because it was fuzzy. Not just because it was fuzzy because I'm seeing double images, but
right.
It just flattens it out and it just, you know, characters just blend in the background a little bit better instead of being separate and obviously not in the same environment. That's what I feel.
All right. I noticed that when I was watching Hobbit 2, the problem was sometimes, it's like Thor. Thor had this problem. If you didn't see it in 3D, like the cosmic cube and some of the Asgard effects,
yeah,
just looked flat.
Okay.
But when you saw it in 3D, it popped out.
I'll take your word for it. I haven't seen it in 3D.
I saw it both. I first saw it in 2D. And that's what I mean. And it's like when I was watching Hobbit 2, I noticed some of the creatures didn't really pop out.
Okay. Thankfully, this wasn't in the high frame rate, which I despised in the first film, so I like that one much better, seeing it at home in traditional 2D, 24 frames a second. So, well, we've talked a lot about this film.
We have.
You're home.
I am.
We should probably give this thing a
score. Hey, why don't you come on in?
No, we're not going inside. We're giving this movie a score.
Okay, there you go.
The Soap score is 2.5 stars.
2.5 stars, folks. He liked it a little more. I didn't like it as much. Maybe if I had been like you and just binged on the
crammed movie,
crammed it into my eye sockets in advance, I would have liked it more. But like you said in our deliberation period here, it doesn't stand on its own, obviously. But you know that, so yeah. I don't think you can dock it too much for that.
And you know, nobody wants to sit there and watch a movie. It's like, considering I just watched the film today, I wouldn't want to watch remember all this. I was like, yeah, I just watched all this today. Come on, treat me with a little smarts here.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. I'm just being picky.
Yeah. if it was a film intended to be on its own, then yes, I'd want it, but it's a continuation.
I think if you like the first two, you're going to like this one. If you hated the first two, you're going to hate this one, honestly.
Yeah,
it's probably true. That's pretty much how it is. So, obviously, if you hated the first two, you're not even going to bother with this one. So, turn the review off. You wasted a lot of time on YouTube with this review. So, turn it off.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have. Fear not, Sculpt faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying arrivederci. Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.